chapter 2. I want to speak this evening. As we said, this was certainly not what the Lord, what I had thought I was speaking on tonight. But what the Lord has directed us to very clearly, plainly. Verse number 10. Ruth chapter 2 and the verse number 10. Read there, then she, that is Ruth, fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? I want to speak this evening, very simply, on the subject of being amazed by grace. Amazed by grace. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer? And let's seek his blessing upon the preaching of his word tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee, O God, for thy word. And O God, we pray that tonight the searchlight of Scripture will be shone into every heart. We cry unto thee tonight for the help of heaven to rightly divide the Scriptures. O God, we pray that tonight you'll bind the strong man. We ask, O God, that tonight you'll spoil his goods. We ask, O God, that tonight our minds, our thoughts, Lord, will be taken away from all other things. And Lord, for this season, for this time now around the Word of God, we pray, Lord, that our hearts, our minds, our thoughts will be captivated, taken up with thy word. O Heavenly Father, we pray you'll come. Speak very definitely, very clearly tonight. And O God, we pray that tonight each one of us may be amazed, astounded at the grace of God. May we all, Lord, not merely say and sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But O God, we pray that from the depths of our hearts tonight, may we truly be amazed by grace, the goodness and the greatness of the grace of God that reached us. So, Father and our God, we commit our time now to thee. Defeat the forces of hell, O God, we pray. And O Heavenly Father, we pray for this time. Lord, we pray you'll make a highway for the preaching of the glorious gospel. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but often and very they never cease to amaze us. And just when we think we have heard it all, and we think we can hear no more, then something more happens that totally amazes us, takes us by surprise. Perhaps more accurately, rather than being amazed, we are more like astounded. I wonder what has amazed you or astounded you recently. Let me tell you something that has amazed me recently. Something that is very topical and very recent. The fact that the TV presenter Philip Schofield has been told that he is so brave and so strong for coming out as a sodomite. And yet what he is doing is breaking up his marriage and breaking up his family, which under any other circumstances he would be lambasted for and he would be pilloried for in the press. But no, he's applauded for being brave. He is congratulated for standing up. That truly must amaze the child of God. Maybe it's over this past week you've been amazed at the rapid spread of the coronavirus in recent times. Maybe something else has amazed you, something that certainly over the Christmas season never ceased, sadly, to astound us, and that was how that many young lives were so tragically taken away in suicide. Everything we can think about really tonight, it amazes us, it astounds us. However, tonight as we come to the gospel, I want us to consider something that should always amaze us. Something, folks, tonight that should always astound us. In verse 10, Ruth asks the question, why have I found grace? Here she is, amazed that she found grace. Remember, Ruth was an outcast. Ruth was a stranger. Ruth had nothing of herself. And yet she found grace. She was astounded by the fact, she was amazed by the fact that she would ever find grace at all. You see, a life changed by grace, a life saved by grace, will always be a life that is amazed by grace. John Newton, that hymn that we were singing, a slave trader, a drunkard, a hater of the gospel, yet God saved him, made him into a servant of Christ. And he wrote that hymn that has been translated into so many different languages, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Lying on his deathbed, John Newton was able to say, my mind is gone, but I remember two things. I remember that I am a great sinner, but I also remember that Christ is a great Savior. He was amazed by grace right to the very day God called him home. Were you amazed today by the grace of God? In this past week, did the reality and the redemption that grace provides amaze you, astound you, cause you to sit up, sit down, and thank God for being redeemed? Why God should save me? Why God should reach down and pick up something so insignificant as me? I can never understand. Thank God tonight. It's all because of the grace of God. We can look to the Lord tonight and ask this question that Ruth asked, why? Why have I found grace? The one who deserved nothing. We who deserve nothing but to be damned the moment we were born, found grace. And tonight, can I say to those in this meeting still out of Christ, may you be amazed by grace tonight. May you be astounded by the fact that no matter how often you've rejected the gospel of grace, no matter how often you've turned your back on the gospel of Christ, yet God in his grace has lengthened out your days and your moments till now. He could have cut you off. You could be in your grave tonight. You could be in a lost eternity already. Yet God has been gracious to you. As we consider something of this account in Ruth chapter 2, and as we are amazed by grace, I want you to see here, first of all, with me, the search for grace. The search for grace. In verse 2, we find Ruth going in search of grace. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. In whose sight I shall find grace. Here was someone who was awakened by grace. A work of grace has been wrought in her heart, and she wanted to find this grace. She knew she needed it. She wanted to find it. She needed to have it. She knew her life without grace was empty, was meaningless, was void. And so she went searching for grace. This world is full of searchers. This world tonight is full of those who are searching for something in this world, but something this world cannot give. Everyone born into this world, we're born with an emptiness in our heart and life because of sin. We're born separated from God because of sin. We're born with that vacuum in our hearts, that vacuum that is God-shaped, and that vacuum that is only God-filled. The problem is that many will try to fill that vacuum in the things of this world. Many will turn to the vices of this world. Many will turn to the pleasures of this world, trying to find that which they so long for. But here is Ruth, and she goes searching for grace rather than searching for the things of the world. As we think of this search, I want you to see her activity. Verse number 2, she said, "Let me now go to the field." Ruth had arrived in Bethlehem with nothing. You know the story, I'm sure, in chapter 1. But she arrived back in Bethlehem with Naomi, and she had nothing. She was empty, she was penniless. And you see, in the sight of those to whom she had come to, she was rejected, she was despised, she was a pagan, and she had nothing to claim by right. And so she sets herself on the task of hunting and working and finding acceptance amongst the people of Bethlehem. And in the barley fields, she sets herself to work and she says, "Let me now go to the field." There was an activity. Now let me bring in that into the spiritual realm, because remember in the book of Ruth, it's all about redemption. Of course, all the scriptures are about redemption. Salvation is all of grace. Salvation is all of God. We believe in a sovereign God. But we read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 14 that the sinner needs to strive to enter into the straight gate. You see, sinner, tonight there needs to be that striving, that longing to enter into Christ. It speaks about an agonizing. It speaks about pressing past all the obstacles that there are in your way and getting to Christ in your search for grace. Sinner, tonight, you know you need to be saved. You know you're not right with God. You're far from God. But you cannot stop there. You need to strive to enter into Christ's salvation. Strive past the pride of your heart. Strive past the love of sin. Strive past the power of the flesh. Strive past the obstacles that would stand in your way, humanly speaking. And you need to strive to get to Christ. Make every effort. Well, here was Ruth. She had been awakened by grace. She realized she had nothing to offer. She needed to do something. Oh, sinner, tonight may you realize you've nothing to offer before God. Here was Ruth empty-handed. And yet she goes searching for grace. "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." Having realized her emptiness, she went searching for grace. Oh, sinner, tonight may you realize your loneliness. Your life is void without God's salvation, without his grace. In the search, there was her activity, but there was also her appetite. You see, Ruth realized there was a hunger in her life. She realized that she needed something she did not have. Her life without God's grace had no meaning. Her life without the provision that God had made for her was in vain. And sinner, tonight, you need to realize this evening that your life without Christ is empty. You may have everything this world has to offer. You could gain this whole world, but what would it profit you if you had everything in this world and you lost your soul? You might think tonight you don't need God's grace or God's salvation. Listen to the story of Ruth. Here was a woman who went searching for this grace because she realized she needed it. Perhaps tonight you desire God's salvation, but you're not saved. And tonight you know you need to be saved, but you've delayed the matter. You've put it off. Listen, you delay the matter any longer and you die in your sin. You put it off. You go to a lost eternity. And like the rich man that we read of in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, I tell you, you will there have a greater appetite for grace than you've ever had. Everyone who's in a lost eternity tonight, they have the greatest appetite for God's grace, for God's salvation. But in hell, grace is not to be found. This is the day of grace. This is the moment of opportunity. There is her activity in the search, her appetite in the search, but also notice her anticipation. As you read verse 2, you'll find that here was someone who anticipated she'll find what she's looking for. In verse 2, she says, in whose sight I shall find grace. You see, tonight, the one who longs and desires to be saved by God's grace shall be saved. They shall seek me, God says, and shall find me when they shall search for me with all their heart. And sinner, this evening, you remove every obstacle that's standing in your way to coming to Christ. Sinner, tonight, you realize that you have nothing to offer God. And you come to Christ in all of your emptiness. You come to Him just the way you are. He'll save you. He'll set you free from sin. Your search will be rewarded. He'll pardon your sin. He'll redeem you tonight. You will find His salvation. For every seeking sinner, thank God tonight there's a seeking Savior. There was the search for grace. But let's come a little further into this account, and I want you to see then the supply of grace. Her search was rewarded because Ruth found grace. But she didn't find it in the field. She didn't find it in a place. And listen tonight, let me be very honest with you. You'll not find salvation in this place, in this church. Thank God for you coming tonight. But you will not find salvation in this church or the church around the road or the church down the street. You'll not find salvation in any place. Ruth found salvation not in a place, but in a person. Verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. I don't have time tonight, but I'll seek simply as I can to show how that Boaz is a wonderful type and picture of Christ. You remember how all the Old Testament saints and characters, they all point to Christ in some way. They all speak of Christ. Well, here Boaz is a wonderful type of Christ. Ruth found grace in one who was her kinsman redeemer. And we'll look at that in a moment. Notice where he came from. Verse 4, he came from Bethlehem, the birthplace of our Savior. Ruth found grace in Boaz, who points to Christ. The one who came from heaven to earth was born in Bethlehem's manger. The one who is full of grace. As we consider this supply of grace that she found in Boaz, notice first of all his riches. In verse number 1 we read, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. He was a mighty man of wealth. And how that speaks, how that points to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Had all the riches of heaven. Had all the riches of this world. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The wealth in every mine. They're all his because he created them. Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. Speaking of the riches of Christ. His riches. But notice, and this is especially what I want us to see here, his relatives. Verse 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. And there's the vital link that qualified Boaz to be Ruth's redeemer and where she would find this grace that she was looking for. His relationship to Naomi's husband, Elimelech, Ruth's father-in-law. Now, according to the law, Leviticus 25, if a member of a family was destitute, and they had nothing, and they were poor, and they had no husband, they had no family to meet to provide for them, then the kinsman, who would be a relative to them, would provide for them. He would sustain them. He would meet them in their time of trouble. But there had to be that connection to the person involved. For them, for that kinsman, to redeem and to rescue that person who was in danger and who was in trouble, who had nothing, there had to be a relationship. And for Boaz and between Ruth, there was a relationship through Elimelech, Naomi's husband. Remember what I said. Ruth was a stranger. She was from Moab. And if the events of Ruth chapter 1 had never taken place, if Ruth had never come into contact with one of Naomi's sons who then became her husband, she would never have had this kinsman redeemer. She could never have claimed the right. There would have been no association. There would have been no connection. There would have been no relationship as her standing simply as a Moabitess. She would have remained an outcast without hope. You say, what's that got to do with salvation? Christ, by his coming into this world, became man, became us in order to be our Redeemer. We were strangers to grace. We were outcasts. We were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. We had no right. We had nothing to offer to God. But thank God, God coming in the person of Christ. Christ taking our humanity into union with his perfect deity. The blessed God-man. He is our kinsman redeemer. We, the sinner who were destitute, hopeless, helpless, could do nothing to save ourselves. Yet by Christ coming into this world, thank God he brought redemption. And we have that relationship to God through Christ. Boaz came from Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem, all in the great plan and scheme of redemption. Ruth and Boaz, you read on in the later chapters, they went on to marry. And from that marriage came Obed. And from Obed came Jesse. And from Jesse came King David. And from the royal line of David came the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You see how the scriptures are all intertwined and interlinked, all in the theme of redemption. Oh, what a family tree of grace here Ruth had to claim. Goes to show us that all that we need is found alone in Christ. Boaz was her kinsman, the only one who could help her. Sinner tonight, Christ is your Redeemer. He is your kinsman. He became man. He became us in the incarnation in order to bring us to God. Very quickly then, there is his recognition in verse 5. He asks the question, whose damsel is this? Now I want you to picture the scene. Boaz goes into this field and all the reapers are there and all the laborers are there, and yet he gets his eyes on Ruth. Thank God tonight, out of all the hordes of humanity, God is interested in the one. And tonight, sinner in this meeting, God is interested in you. He took notice of this one individual. The fields would have been teeming with workers. It was barley harvest. They were working. They were all working together. And if we had went into that field, all we'd have seen just a sea of faces. But Boaz saw Ruth. And individually, and very personally, he said, "Who is this damsel?" That's the interest that the Savior has in the individual. Thank God tonight that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Was it for me? For me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne. Was it for me he wept and prayed, my load of sin before him laid? What was it for me he bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide? Was it for me the Savior died? Thank God it was for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing, it was for me. Yes, all for me. Paul said, the Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. Christ is interested in you tonight. He died on the cross to save you from your sin. Then there is his response in verses 7 and 8. Ruth asked the question in verse 7. She said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning on till now, that she tarried a little in the house. You see, Ruth didn't want to leave the company and the fellowship of that field of service. There where she was working for her Redeemer, and she was concerned that Boaz would call her away to another place of service. But Boaz graciously answered in verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Ruth, don't leave that place of service. Don't leave that place where God has you serving him and laboring for him. In relation to salvation tonight, don't go anywhere else looking for it. Don't go anywhere else apart from Christ. Don't go into the fields of sin. Don't go into the fields of this world and seek to find salvation there. You'll not find it. But also in relation to service, go not to another field. Stay in that field of service and labor. In that field, as we see, there was fellowship. In verse 8, "But abide here fast by my maidens." She had already enjoyed and experienced the fellowship there. Remember, she's an outcast. They didn't know her. But they had brought her in. They took care of her. And as they labored together, that bond was so close, that bond was so tight, she didn't want to leave. Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast. The supply of grace is found in Christ. Oh, that sinner this night, you would find that supply of grace. Oh, that sinner tonight, you would not go searching, looking in other places, but that this night you would abide in that field of grace and there find all that your soul needs. Finally tonight, there is the satisfaction of grace. Ruth, with amazement and with astonishment, said, "Why have I found grace? I'm a stranger here, yet you've taken knowledge of me. Why have you cared for me? Why have you looked after me? Why are you so interested in me?" She was amazed by grace. Realizing she had found grace in the person of Boaz, found her Redeemer, found what she longed for, she was then satisfied. Come to verse 14. As we think of this satisfaction, notice the invitation. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Come thou hither." There's the invitation. She was invited to that place of feasting and satisfaction. Boaz brought her in. Thank God tonight he has brought the sinner into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. That's the invitation of grace. Come. And tonight we say to you, sinner, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. There was food in this invitation. Eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Eat of the bread. Tonight, eat of the bread of life, who is Christ. Take this bread, eat of that heavenly manna, unless you'll never hunger again. There was fellowship there, only food. Verse 14, and she sat, sitting at the feet of her Redeemer. There was fellowship, and there was sweet communion. The hymn writer says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. And I speak to those who are saved tonight. We live in a world overcome with fear. We live in a world overcome with dread, worry, and anxiety. The whole world right now is filled and gripped with fear. Sit at the feet of the Savior day after day. Cast your care upon him. Enjoy that sweet fellowship and that sweet communion. Oh, thank God tonight when we sit at the feet of Christ, there's fellowship in all the cares of this world. Pass away. She sat, she ate. And as she ate, the Redeemer reached more and more. He kept on feeding her. He kept on sustaining her and strengthening her. She ate and she was sufficed. Finally tonight, as we consider one last thing about this satisfaction, notice the vindication. How did God vindicate Ruth? How did God reward Ruth? Verse 16. She said unto the reapers, or he said unto the reapers, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Handfuls of purpose along the way that vindicated she was in the right place. Handfuls of blessing along the way that the Lord graciously gave to her that vindicated she was in the right place. She was so satisfied. The Lord gave her those handfuls of purpose. He provided for her. He took care of her. He blessed her with more than she ever thought that she would. In that place where God has served us, called us. In this place where God has called us to serve and work and worship for Him, thank God tonight He'll still give those handfuls of purpose, those tokens for good. He'll make the labor all the more sweet. See the growth in grace. At the end of verse 17, she gathered about an ephah of barley. She had nothing. She had nothing at the start. Now she's grown in grace. She has more than enough. Ruth had no worries when she was in the field of grace. Every need was met by her kinsman redeemer Moses. And listen, when you're saved and gleaning in the Lord's field of grace, you'll find all you'll need. Let me ask you tonight. Are you there? Are you searching tonight for grace? Thank God tonight you search. Your search will be rewarded. Get to Christ tonight. He is your only Savior. He is your only Redeemer. Though you're an outcast and a stranger to grace, thank God He'll save you and bring you in. Grace, matchless grace, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Did you just say those words? Or do you mean them? Are they really the testimony of your heart tonight? Have you been amazed by grace? Let's bow in prayer. And as we close this evening, I pray that God will so, by His Holy Spirit, strive with you tonight. And that you would see your nothingness, that tonight you would see in Christ all you need. He's the supply of grace. He's the only source of grace. Tonight you need to get to Him. Tonight you need to get to Christ. If you're concerned, you're worried, you're anxious about your soul, then you stay behind tonight. And don't you go away. Don't you go out into the field of darkness tonight and forget all about what you've heard. Come to Christ. Come to Him now. You want to speak to us, we're here. But don't leave without Him tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the amazing grace of God. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for all that grace has done. And, O God, we pray that tonight some in this meeting will stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how they could love them, a sinner, condemned and unclean. Bring the lost to Thyself, we pray. Glorify Thy great name. save souls by thy matchless grace. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen.